He was 92. The Dow ahead 150 points, and the NASDAQ is up 4 points. This is SRN News.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
Tired of hearing scary radio ads about the IRS? Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000 or $500,000, we have a solution. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS with zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with a BBB. End your tax nightmare today by visiting TRA.com or call 800-275-3490. That's 800-275-3490.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Truck Lines, where dump truck drivers are in demand. Wiley Sanders is on the grow. We need dump truck drivers now. Call 855-77-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Another warm, dry day today. More like late May than mid-April. Today's high temperature in the middle 80s again. Limited sunshine with the sun filtering through some high clouds. Cloudy, mild tonight. Overnight low 66. Tomorrow, most of us should stay dry with a weakening front approaching. High 82, mostly cloudy skies. Then a little warmer, 86 on Thursday with the sun and cloud mix. Widely scattered showers holding off till Friday and Saturday. A better chance on Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
ASE Credit Union makes auto loans easy with rates as low as 4.75% APR. Apply online or visit your local branch today. Federally insured by the NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE.
1819 News.
A bill has been filed within the Alabama House that would allow for lie detector tests to be utilized within the sex offender treatment program. HB 452 is being sponsored by state lawmaker Mac Butler. The bill requires a polygraph exam for sex offenders in order for them to participate in treatment. It's designed to keep the offenders accountable. The bill also limits a sex offender from accessing post office boxes as well as electronic media or internet access through gaming systems and phones unless it's approved by their parole officer. A special investigator with the Etowah County Sheriff's Office, Fred Lassiter, spoke with 1819 News about this bill. Lassiter says that these tools are necessary to discover the crafty ways in which a sex offender can violate their parole and even reoffend. Lassiter says this is ultimately about protecting the children and keeping predators from areas where they can lure children and take advantage of them. I'll be back with more Alabama stories after this.
Where I was living was not a great place to live anymore. I began to pray for a place to go, praying for all of these things that a 9-year-old would want. I wanted horses, big house with a bunch of people my age. I wanted parents. I wanted a mom and a dad. Before I even prayed it, the Lord had already answered my prayer with the Big Oak Ranch. Who would that 9-year-old be if she never came to the Big Oak Ranch? I would be trying to fight for survival instead of fighting to break a cycle.
Big Oak Ranch, a Christian home for children needing a chance.
A man who was being kidnapped from Decatur by two men was able to text 911 to get police to help. The incident happened this past weekend. Police were able to track the victim to a home in Arab where they found him still handcuffed and sitting on a couch. 21-year-old Jesse Fain Jr. and 18-year-old Clayton Callahan have since been arrested. The police chief in the city of Florence is retiring after 12 years at that position. Chief Ron Tyler turned in his resignation letter on Monday and set his last day within the department for June 28th. I'm Andrea Tice.
For more news affecting Alabamians, go to 1819news.com. And while you're there, subscribe to the daily newsletter.
Hello to all my friends in the great state of Alabama. This is Lee Greenwood, and I'm deeply honored to extend my wholehearted endorsement to a true American patriot, Dick Brubaker, for Congress. His proven track record of principled advocacy, effective leadership, and dedicated public service guarantees that he will always stand firm in defense of our rights, our values, and our future. God bless you in Alabama, and God bless the USA.
I'm Dick Brubaker, and I approve this ad.
Reward yourself and your home with beautiful new flooring from Georgia Floors Direct. Since 1969, GFD has guaranteed the lowest prices on the largest inventory of all types of flooring. Visit or call today, Georgia Floors Direct, Eastern Boulevard, across from Lowe's.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. Montgomery's conversational radio show. It's news and views on News Talk 93.1 FM. To join the conversation, call 272-9228.
Joey Clark.
Welcome into News and Views in the afternoon, or as we're calling it on the interwebs, Joey Clark Live. Hope everybody's doing all right on a lovely Tuesday, a special runoff election day here in Montgomery for the brand new Alabama Congressional District 2. I've already done my due diligence and went and voted with my grandfather at my side this morning, and it's really just that one race, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. You've got a choice today in the runoff. Low turnout expected, so your vote actually could make somewhat of a difference here at this time. Now, without further ado, plenty to get to with this gentleman today. We have the one, the only Judge Andrew Napolitano on the stream. Judge, how are you?
I'm well, Joey. How are you, my dear friend?
I'm doing quite well. And, well, I want to start with what we're seeing play out in the courtroom as we speak. It just broke that Mr. Bragg is trying to trigger the gag order against Trump and wanting him to be held in contempt. What's going on here?
Well, the judge in the case entered two gag orders, the second of which protects the judge's daughter. I've been critical of this, arguing that the application for this gag order should have gone to another judge. It's unseemly for a judicial official to be entering an order protecting his family member. He has an interest in the outcome. She's not a minor. She doesn't live in his house. She's independently employed. Nevertheless, she's still his daughter. However, it's a gag order. It's been appealed. It was upheld on appeal, and Trump apparently violated it by being critical of her. He also violated the first gag order by being harshly critical of Michael Cohen, one of the principal witnesses against him. So one side of this says gag orders are unconstitutional because they infringe upon the freedom of speech. The other side of this says witnesses and jurors, people not accustomed to the public spotlight, need to be protected and can't be intimidated by criminal defendants against whom they are going to testify or whom they're going to judge, witness or juror. So that's where this stands. I don't know what the judge is going to do. I mean, fining Trump, unless it's an enormous fine, is not going to dent him. The judge threatened to incarcerate him yesterday, so we'll see what happens. That's also a chaotic mess, trying to incarcerate somebody who has Secret Service protection. I don't mean to laugh at it. It's just... it's virgin territory.
Yeah.
That's the way to describe it.
And like I was telling you last week or the week before, it all kind of blurs together. I think this country would go crazy I would take certain other of these cases in front of Trump as the election cycles ahead more seriously. You should take this seriously given it's in criminal trial right now. But if they threw him in jail over this particular case with these characters like Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen, I think this country comes unhinged. And I wanted to ask about Cohen. How can anybody believe a thing that man says at that point? He's been on every side of the truth, it seems like.
Well, it's up to Trump's lawyers, one of whom is a very experienced trial lawyer, to cross-examine Cohen on the basis of prior inconsistent statements and prior admissions of deception. There's an old one-liner that prosecutors use: even liars can tell the truth. and the government can't pick its witnesses. You know, it takes its witnesses as they come to it in the case. And often the government's witnesses in criminal cases are not exactly people you would invite into your living room. This case is no different. The government knows how to bolster his credibility, and defense counsel knows how to attack it. It's up to the jury to decide whether or not they believe it. Some of the events in this case are really not disputed. The bookkeeping records speak for themselves. What is disputed, I suppose, is Trump's intent. This is a crime of intent. The government has to prove intent, which it proves by the circumstances surrounding the defendant's behavior. And those circumstances were observed by, among others, Michael Cohen.
Man, and now I want to shift gears here because we'll see how this particular case continues. And there's a lot going on. The country coming apart at the seams in many ways. I know you've been highly critical of Speaker Mike Johnson, and I think I agree with you, rightfully so. Critical. One guy I'd imagine we both respect in the Congress very much, Thomas Massie, has now come out today saying he would join second Marjorie Taylor Greene in ousting Johnson. Let's remind folks why we might be so critical and so disappointed in this brand new speaker who might not be speaker for much longer.
He pushed through a budget that spends and borrows more money than Mrs. Pelosi's last budget. He broke the tie on a very reasonable amendment to restrain FBI, NSA, and CIA spying by requiring something novel, that they get a warrant before they spy on Americans. The vote was 212 to 212. He left the speaker's chair to break the tie. Now he's going to orchestrate aid to Ukraine, which at last count is confronting massive desertions. Even these Nazi units where the guys have swastikas tattooed on their arms and they're supposedly the fiercest fighters Ukraine has, have been deserting, where they get better food, better medical attention, and better creature comforts at the hands of their Russian captors than they do in their own army. So Mike Johnson has been an enormous, enormous disappointment, worse than Kevin McCarthy, worse than Mrs. Pelosi. Now, I say that with a little bit of bias because Thomas Massie is the Ron Paul of the House of Representatives. He is a superstar in my book because of his devotion to the Constitution. One more vote, one more Republican, and Johnson's out. They only have a two-vote majority now, unless Democrats start to vote for him, which of course causes another host of problems that he'll have to deal with.
And it does seem like the issues, the very important ones we care about, somewhat get lost in all the fights between personalities, but you got to go with both. And just circling back and underlining this FISA fight, you and I've talked about this many times, but last week in your op-ed, you talked about in the midst of this conversation about FISA, the CIA was asking, the agency was asking for more power?
Yes. So I'll tell you how it works. Section 702 is the section of the FISA Act that permits surveillance on foreign persons in the U.S. and outside the U.S. without a warrant. This is totally unconstitutional because it presumes that the Fourth Amendment only protects Americans. It protects people. Okay. The argument was these people are bringing drugs into the country. They're terrorists. We don't even know who they are. We have to be able to surveil them. I get that. I don't agree with it, but I get it.
All right.
The statute, Section 702, also permits the FBI to spy on the Americans with whom foreign people speak. I call my cousins in Florence. I call a bookseller in London. I'm fair game for the FBI. It's absurd. The Andy Biggs, Thomas Massie amendment wouldn't have interfered with their spying on the foreign people, but it would have required a warrant to spy on me. The CIA wants to move two hops from me, meaning they want to be able to spy on whoever I talk to, American, and whoever that person talks to, American, without a search warrant. That passed. So the spying authority under Mike Johnson, actually, now the Senate hasn't ruled on this, right, but the exception of Rand Paul and Mike Leader and Bernie Sanders, they're all, and Elizabeth Warren, they're all big government spies over there. This actually enhances spying. This request was made by the CIA, and it's a head-scratcher. The charter of the CIA prohibits it, A, being involved in law enforcement, and B, spying on Americans. Totally abandoned the charter. Congress has totally abandoned it. And shortly before he died, Harry Truman wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post condemning what the CIA had become. He created it.
Well, and they must be showing, because Johnson did one of these moments where a reporter catches him in the hallway. And he said, you know, I was on the Judicial Committee and I was all for getting rid of FISA. And then they showed me the very classified intelligence briefings being speaker. And I've kind of changed my mind. It makes me wonder what they show these folks in the back room. This goes all the way up to the conversation we've had, you know, with Trump, with JFK and the files still surrounding Correct. Kennedy's assassination. Correct. Seems like folks go in with the best of intentions and something is shown to them in the back room.
The intelligence community has totally co-opted its regulators. You've heard the phrase regulatory capture.
Yeah.
This is what happens when bankers at a big name bank promise the regulators great jobs at the bank when they leave being a regulator. Now, they can't make that promise overt, but they can with a wink and a nod. And suddenly the regulators are almost working for the bankers. That's basically what has happened with the intelligence community. Mike Johnson sees things that he can't tell the rest of us about. What the hell kind of a democracy is that? The intelligence community sees things they can't tell the rest of Congress about. What kind of a democracy is that? We don't know the accuracy or authenticity of what they've shown. It could be a picture of Mike Johnson that's embarrassing to him. Who knows what they showed him? This is not the way democracy is supposed to work. I laugh when Mike Turner, who's the chair of the House Intelligence Committee, says we have to protect Americans from foreign spies. Good God, who will protect Americans from the American spies that you, Mike Johnson, have unleashed?
Again, folks, we're talking to Judge Andrew Napolitano. You can always go to judgenap.com or check out his podcast, Judging Freedom. I was watching Colonel McGregor live this morning. A great interview that y'all can always go back. You don't have to necessarily watch live. They're up there on YouTube at Judging Freedom.
That was the largest live audience we've ever had.
Yeah, it was a great conversation today, especially some of the breaking stuff on Ukraine, given that's not in the headlines. A real quick, another congressional controversy that's come up. I saw Alabama's junior Senator Britt talking about this on Fox and Friends. I've seen John Kennedy from Louisiana talking about this at length. Is it a constitutional requirement for the Senate to actually take up articles of impeachment if they're transmitted from the House to the Senate? Or is that more one of these traditions that stood for a while, but it's really up to the members of the Congress and the members of the Senate to decide?
B. A senator can stand up and say to the Chief Justice or whoever's presiding at the impeachment, I don't know if the chief's going to preside because it's not the president being impeached. I move to dismiss the charges, and majority can do so. I don't know what the two senators have said. I'm going to guess that they can't stand Mayorkas. This is not an impeachable offense, and I don't like Mayorkas either, but he hasn't committed an impeachable offense, even if he did everything the House said he did. This is a dispute over policy. Policy set by Joe Biden, and the country is stuck with Biden for at least the next 8 or 9 months. Impeachment has to be treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors in the category of treason and bribery. They haven't even alleged that.
Well, and this goes back to what the impeachment of Johnson, where you can't impeach for maladministration. It has to be those others you laid out. And well, and I believe the senators, including Katie Britt and John Kennedy and many others, are threading that needle that this is a very great stalwart tradition in the Senate. How dare you do away with that? But on that point, yeah, you know, being a student of the Constitution that you are, how important are some of these norms that in my lifetime are more and more being upset? Is this a good development, bad development, kind of doesn't really matter in the long run? What do you think about
that? You're talking about the norm of accepting whatever impeachment articles come over or the norm of ignoring the law?
Of accepting what articles come over, or there were others about, you know, how many do you need a filibuster-proof majority in advance judges? These sorts of things continue to seem to be whittled away. I guess my general question is, are some of these rules that have been developed in the Senate, been held for a century or more. Should we be careful in the little c conservative sense of upsetting these things?
We probably should be careful with the eradication of tradition because people come to rely on it. You comport your behavior in the House, even though I don't think this is an impeachable offense.
Right.
That you comport your behavior in the House expecting the Senate will follow its tradition rather than just dump this thing because they don't believe it's an impeachable offense. Traditions shouldn't be easily vitiated, and they shouldn't be vitiated in reverse. I mean, you can say, well, this is the last time we're going to do this. In the future, we're going to allow a motion to dismiss. So you guys and gals in the House, be aware of that. If you send us garbage, it's going to come right back to you.
Well, and I also just want to end with a thank you. I played it on my show when it first came out, but you played for many of your guests on Judging Freedom. Coach, as we call him, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville.
He was terrific in questioning Secretary Austin. Terrific. I've never met the coach, and I'm dying to. Maybe you can arrange that sometime.
Sure.
But he was absolutely terrific. My producer said to me, Judge, do you know Tommy Tuberville? And I said, no. He goes, Judge, he sounds just like you. Where do you watch these questions? Boom. They were very, very direct questions. Should Ukraine join NATO? Can Ukraine win? And I don't think Secretary Austin was expecting that.
Well,
and he flipped and called him general once to a 4-star who is now the Secretary of Defense. That's very flattering.
Oh,
Secretary,
absolutely.
Secretary of Defense, you get like that. 4 stars takes a lifetime to get.
Well, and I love it when worlds collide. So I'll try to make that connection happen there with Coach Tuberville. He was the Auburn football coach my freshman year there at Auburn. It was his last year. He doesn't like being reminded of that particular year. Not a great record. He left for a reason. That said, I think he's, as a senator, becoming better with time. He's starting to wake up to the games of Washington, D.C.
Yes, agreed. Agreed on that, my dear friend. Very much agreed.
Well, and I always appreciate your time. Again, folks can always check out Judging Freedom. Who do you have coming up this week?
Well, we had Scott Ritter yesterday, which was enormous. We've had Colonel McGregor this morning, which was enormous. I have two of my military regulars this afternoon, Karen Kwiatkowski and Matt Ho, each of whom just finished testifying before the United Nations Security Council on the futility of aid to Iran. I have Anna Parampal, who is the wife of Max Blumenthal and a brilliant and gifted journalist in her own right, on this issue of, is there moral equivalency between Israel destroying the Iranian embassy in Damascus and murdering two generals, and Iran attacking only military targets in Israel? And then I have Professor Jeff Sachs, a long day for me, at 5 o'clock today, on how close Iran and Russia came to a negotiated settlement until the United States and Great Britain entered the picture.
Well, I'd love our time together. As always, I had one question just come up before you go. I'm in a moment going to be interviewing Mike Termott. He's also running for the Libertarian Party's presidential nomination. We talked to Dr. Reckenwald last week. But, you know, there's been talk of RFK Jr. seeking the Libertarian Party's nomination to get ballot access. Is that, as a Libertarian, is that a palatable nominee given everything we know about him being a Kennedy and whatnot?
Well, I have to say, first of all, he's a friend of mine. And secondly, we have conferred a number of times. And thirdly, the answer to your question is no. He is not palatable to Libertarians. And I can't imagine that they would... they would embrace him. I mean, they love him on Assange and Snowden and the CIA, and they love him on vaccines. But other than that, he's a liberal Democrat. He supports slaughter in Gaza.
Well, and there you go, folks. I just wanted to get that out there. Get you on the record, Judge. I appreciate your time as always, sir. Until next
week. Anytime, my dear friend. Until next week.
Again, folks, that is Judge Andrew Napolitano. Always appreciate his time. Very generous with his time with this humble little talk show. This part of the program, before we hit this break, brought to you by Dylan Rings. And there at Dylan Rings, of course, Josh and Leslie Ryder are ready to help you with any of your jewelry needs. They have an amazing selection from high-end pieces to everyday jewelry that, you know, still looks great, but it's not going to break the bank and it's not going to break your heart, say if you lose it at the beach or whatnot. But right now, you need to go to Dylan Rings' Facebook page, because if you're dreaming of a one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry, look no further than Dylan Rings' custom jewelry studio. Josh Ryder, as we've been talking about, the man is a true artist, and they have a strong relationship with vendors, meaning they can bring you your jewelry dreams, bring them to life, even if it's not in their current collection. So that's the thing. They know plenty of vendors. They can get the resources at you that you exactly want. Rare gemstones to personalized designs. They've got the connections there at Dylan Rings to make it happen. Your vision, their craftsmanship, y'all can create something together that's truly extraordinary. At Josh Ryder, that man, if you can dream it, Josh Ryder can make it a reality. I'm looking at a custom example of some of his handiwork. Absolutely beautiful work here, folks, and that can be, well, you. That could be your finger with a great custom ring made by Dylan Rings. So check them out today. You can always go to DylanRings.com or, again, go to Facebook or Instagram to search Dylan Rings. But I really encourage you to stop by 119 Brown Springs Road right here in Montgomery, just off of Atlanta Highway, and be sure to tell Josh and Leslie Ryder that Joey, that fella from the radio, sent you. We'll be right back.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
I'm with Miss Dot at the Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall. Dot, spring is already here.
Oh, I'm so glad too. I'm tired of being cold. With spring, we're starting to bring out the wicker furniture. We are getting in the iron outdoor furniture and just a lot of things that's just going to brighten your day.
Now, if somebody needs some furniture for their home, you have a good selection, don't you?
If there's any furniture that you can't find anywhere else, come to Eastbrook, because we have a wonderful selection of solid, good, heavy furniture at excellent prices. Actually, better than you're going to find anywhere else. Just come see us and walk around all three floors, and let's help you out to fill up those living rooms and dining rooms and bedrooms, because we've got it all.
Do you have any booth space available at this time?
I have booth space available. So come see us.
All right, give us those hours of operation.
Monday through Friday is 10 until 6. Saturday is 9 until 6. And Sunday, 12:30 to 4:30.
Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall, 425 Coliseum Boulevard.
This is your roving reporter, and today I am talking with an elk.
Hey, man.
Mr. Elk, I was just wondering, what do elk do to take care of their money?
Well, like most smart folks, we call David Erdett.
You mean Alabama's most favorite asset preservationist?
That's him, man. We call him up at 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839.
I see.
Yes, he is our preferred money man.
The money man with the money plan.
You've been paying attention.
Well, could you give us those numbers one more time?
334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839. And I just want to try to give you a heads up, man.
Oh, what's that?
I'm not an elk.
Not an elk, huh? Well, then, pray tell, what are you?
Knights of Columbus.
I am not even going to make a comment.
Well, the baby liked it.
Everyone that eats three meals a day is participating in agriculture, whether they know it or not. I'm Chef Morris. I've been farming all my life. Caroline Dobson cares about farmers like us. We need somebody in Washington that understands us and understands what's happening and why it's happening. Caroline Dobson is the best candidate in this race. Caroline's tough. She's a fighter. The Biden administration is not about rural America. The labor cost and fuel cost are just strangling small business. Joe Biden is out of touch. The farmer didn't vote for him, and he doesn't care about him. We need people like Caroline in Washington, D.C. to give people confidence to move forward. Caroline Dobson is a fifth-generation farmer. She's got grit, she's got country values, and she's got what it takes. Nobody's going to dig their heels in and fight for us like Caroline Dobson.
On April 16th, vote for Farm Pack endorsed Caroline Dobson for Congress.
I'm Caroline Dobson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Dobson for Congress.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. so I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Broken bricks, falling fences, damaged doors, Gorilla Glue. Of course. It's incredibly strong and 100% waterproof and bonds, well, virtually everything. While you're at it, look for Gorilla Tape, a heavy-duty double-thick duct tape, and Gorilla Super Glue, great for all your quick fixes and repairs. There's also Gorilla Epoxy, Gorilla Wood Glue, Gorilla Construction Adhesive, of course. You get it. If you can break it, Gorilla can fix it. For the toughest jobs on planet Earth.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
This is how you conduct yourself in a democracy.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back to News and Views in the Afternoon, as we call it online, Joey Clark Live. It is runoff election day here in Montgomery for the brand new Congressional District 2. Get out there and vote, because it's expected to be a low turnout. Your vote might really change things today, folks. So get out there and vote. But without further ado, we have another candidate out there. He's not in Congressional District 2 in Alabama, but he is, well, running for president, going for the Libertarian Party's nomination. We have Mike Termott on the stream. Mike, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks, Joey. It's a great joy to be with you and be with all your good folks in Montgomery and in your area.
Yeah, well, and we're kind of talking to all the candidates coming through. All of your nominating convention coming up soon, so I wanted folks to be aware of who might get the nomination there for the Libertarian Party. But the first question I ask all candidates, whether they're running for Congress, Senate, mayor, city council, or for president, is why do this to yourself? There's a lot that goes into a campaign.
It's not all just about speaking to Joey on the radio. That would probably be enough, and certainly makes today a good day. But to pursue this is a big lift, you know. It is something that we campaigned for well over a year. So I appreciate you asking. Indeed, you can probably tell I've been losing my voice over the past couple of days because I've been at a number of state conventions lately. The reason I personally am in this is because I recognize that the Libertarian Party has a big opportunity in 2024. I think that we all sort of believe that that's the case, and we understand why people are, you know, feeling on the outs from the Democratic Party and from the Republican Party. They're looking for something different for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is that each of those parties' candidates is a little bit weird. But I would also assert that it's more than just an opportunity, Joey. It's an obligation for libertarians to participate in a robust way. I think that we all feel like our government has gone off the rails. It has gone off the rails in terms of too much spending, too much inflation, right? Too much criminal justice imposition on us. I think that we need a heavy criminal justice reform in this country. I think our foreign policy has gone off the rails. And I think it's up to libertarians to lead the charge back toward a constitution of delimited powers, put some of our government back in the bottle. I just don't think a Republican or a Democratic politician is going to lead the charge back toward that direction.
Now, in reading your bio, and I want to go through some of those issues you just listed in a second, but let's tell folks a little bit about you a little more. You know, it sounds like you've been a libertarian most of your life, but you've also lived and worked, let's say, a pretty well-rounded life. So what sort of jobs have you had? What's your career look like? Where's life taking you?
It's taken me in a couple of different directions. I grew up in commercial finance coming out of business school and engineering school. I worked for some financial institutions. I went back to graduate school to study economics. Subsequently, I've worked for the White House as an economist, and I worked for a couple of other agencies. I spent about a decade in Washington, D.C. as a professional advocate for freer markets and greater competition and deregulation. I was an entrepreneur for another decade. I had my own business educating financial services professionals and providing consulting to some nonprofits and others. I've taught economics at three different universities, a lot of international stuff mostly. And as a second career, and this might be a little off the beaten path and sound unusual, but at the age of 49, I started 11 and a half years on the road as a police officer in Broward County, Florida, and South Florida, which was a terrific experience. It was all as a registered libertarian. So as you might imagine, that runs to a certain number of conversations and even arguments with folks. But it's the big reason I spend so much time now talking about how important it is to change our criminal justice system, to end the war on drugs, for example, and to do a much better job of holding police officers and police agencies accountable, in my view.
Now, why at the age of 49 did you jump in? How did that decision come about, becoming an officer?
It's something that I had always wanted to do. I put it off and put it off and put it off. I had first took an entrance exam when I was in grad school, when I was like 28 or so in Washington, D.C., and just figured I didn't know how I was going to raise a family on that kind of money. And, you know, police officers make more now than they used to, even in relative terms. And I found myself in a little bit different financial position at 49 and able to figure out how to get the kids through college. And, you know, at 49, you can't put it off much longer, right?
Right.
There comes a point of no return. So that's when I finally jumped on the opportunity and figured it's now or never. And as a libertarian, I felt strongly about how the job should be done. And so it gave me an opportunity to put my feet where my mouth was and take a shot at doing the job the way that I saw fit. And I found a good agency that, you know, for example, had a different separate vice unit, so I didn't have to get all involved with, you know, prostitution stings and drug stuff that I thought was kind of silly and stupid and counterproductive. I didn't have to get involved with all that. So I had actually a really good experience.
Well, and an interesting life, I'll put it that way. There's a lot of other ways you could put it. I think it's to your credit, sir. So leaning on your economic knowledge and your experience there, it's a basic question I've been asking all candidates from all different parties. What is the cause of the inflation we're currently experiencing right now, and how can we remedy this for everyday people?
The fundamental cause, to peel it all back, if you peel that onion far enough, where you get to is the government spends too much money. The government spends too much money mostly because of entitlement programs. It also spends too much money on defense, for example. It spends too much money on everything, but the big ones are entitlement programs and defense as a second piece. And that has gone out of control. And so along with that go the three ways the government finances itself. It taxes to pay for that, and taxation has gone crazy. It issues debt to pay for it, and that has gone really crazy. And then the Federal Reserve issues extra money and uses that money to acquire some of the debt, and that has gone crazy. And that's why we've had inflation. In my view, there's two different things that we need to do about that. One is we need to make the government stop spending so damn much money.
Hear, hear.
Easier said than done, right? I spent a couple of years working for the Office of Management and Budget at the White House, and so I have a good insight. Having said that, insight isn't enough, right? It takes more than knowing how to get it done. It takes a little political oomph. In my view, we need federal legislation to cap overall spending rather than going after particular programs, because as you know, politicians don't like the idea of going after particular programs. But if you have an overall cap, it'll give people a chance to say, well, we're up against the cap, everyone's going to have to take a haircut. That'll be politically a little bit more feasible. The second thing that we need to do is get the Federal Reserve out of the monetary policy altogether. Right now, there's no rules about how much money the Fed can issue. Your listeners and viewers may not know this because it's weird, that the way we set interest rates in the United States on the U.S. dollar is that every 6 weeks, we lock up a dozen people in a room and basically just ask them what mood they're in. That's how it works. That's not even an exaggeration. That's not even a metaphor. That's literally how it works. It's a stupid system. And they feel all the political pressures than anyone else would. And so they're trying to make it easy on everybody. They end up issuing too much money. We get into an inflationary cycle, and it makes it hard for people to make ends meet.
Well, as you were just speaking there, I saw a Wall Street Journal update come up saying Jerome Powell is, you know, everybody's looking to the emperor. Is it going to be thumbs up, thumbs down? He's still wobbling, saying with recent inflation reports, we're not sure if we'll lower rates. We're not sure if we'll raise them. And it's this sort of thing, like, this shouldn't be sound economics, having somebody literally, say, reading the body language of the Fed chairman.
It's absurd. It's a stupid system. In my view, we need a rule in place to cap the amount of money that we can issue. I would take it out of the hands of the Federal Reserve completely. As a matter of fact, the Federal Reserve system is an institution that we no longer need. One might argue it was a bad idea from the start, but we have certainly learned over the past 100 years that it's not doing the job that we had hoped it would be able to do, and we need to get rid of it. You're right. It is a silly thing, not only because of the bad policy that comes out of it. And by the way, the whole objective was to avoid the boom-bust cycle. Well, we see that that's not worked. And research shows that if we had a rule in place controlling how much money could be issued, research suggests that we would have done a better job mitigating booms and busts than we do with this discretionary policy. But not only that, you know, to your point, can you imagine investors out there trying to make important decisions about moving money around? Not only do you have to worry about the economy and rules and regulations and markets and their business, but in addition, they got to guess what Jerome is going to do, making the whole damn thing harder and less stable. It's a silly system.
Right. And even if you had the smartest man in the world, and I have a lot of respect for Jerome Powell, they really don't know at the end of the day.
It's not personal, right? We're not suggesting he's the dopiest dope in dopedom. It's just that no one is up to the task.
Yeah, if you wanted the dopiest dope in dopedom or the king of nincompoopery, appoint Joey. I think we could make that work up there in D.C.
You could make me the mayor, but you and I would at least know enough that we wouldn't take on the responsibility to our discretion. Markets should be making these decisions.
Here, here. And again, folks, we're talking to Mike Termott. You can go to miketermott.com, and it's Mike, how you usually spell it, T-E-R-M-A-A-T. And again, miketermott.com.
And it's a little tricky because it's got two A's. I would encourage people to look at goldnewdeal.org because it's easier to spell.
Well, and, you know, I want to get a quick take, and we'll move to, I view the U.S., say, power across the world and in this country. One is its world reserve status, the control we have of the global economy through our money, and everything we just were talking about very much speaks to that. The other is, of course, for lack of a better term, the United States empire. And I've been trying to get everybody to at least admit we have an empire, whether we call it one or not, or think of it that way. And I'm of the mind that whether you stay or whether you pull back, we're just in a position where there are no good choices. And so we need to pick what price to pay. What would you do? This is a very open-ended question. What would you do with the United States empire?
It is an open question. First of all, let me agree with you and assert that, yeah, we do have an empire. Having said that, I would suggest it's an empire that doesn't work very well. If you were to judge it by the standards of, say, even the Romans when they were early on, or the United Kingdom early on, even by those standards, which weren't all that good, you could argue, our empire works pretty badly. We don't get a good bang for our buck. If you were to consider how our military interventions have gone, you know, ever since World War II, there really aren't examples that the American public would point to and say, sure, you know, that escapade cost us billions of dollars and thousands of lives, but it was worth it. You know, there really aren't examples in that category. And Joey, when you think about Iraq and Afghanistan, and this is sad, we're not talking about billions of dollars, we're talking about trillions, which is weird. And we're not talking, super sadly, we're not talking about thousands of lives, we're talking about over a million lives lost. These things are not merely math problems, right? They're not merely economics questions. These are deep ethical values-laden types of questions. I would argue that our foreign policy does not align with how Americans feel our foreign policy should be pursued. I think that if most Americans were asked, they would say if they were in charge, they wouldn't do these things. You know, you wouldn't, pursue war in Iraq for 20 years and kill hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. It's just not what most Americans would do. And so I think that we're in a pickle here where you're right. There's no great choices. But in the long run, and by that I don't necessarily mean a couple of years, but certainly over the next generation, right, we would be better off both in terms of expense and aligning with our values and avoiding World War III, which ought to be the biggest objective of all, if we stop this empire silliness of projecting military hegemony around the world and telling people, you better do what we tell you to do or we're going to shoot you. Effectively, that's our underlying message, and it has not worked as a practical matter.
Well, and speaking of practical matters, I've been trying to convince practical politicians I know in the Republican Party and Democratic Party that there's this practical elephant in the room, or might be a train coming down the tracks right at us, is the national debt. And I think it'll hamstring our foreign policy capabilities. It'll hamstring our ability to create more money to spend like we are right now. How dangerous is the national debt? And is it really a practical impediment the more we head into the future?
Not only is it going to be an impediment to doing anything useful in the future, and I'm not even sure that's the bad news. If it stops us from doing a number of stupid things, one might argue it's not all bad. The problem, as I see it, is that the federal government is not just likely, almost certainly to fail financially, to collapse financially before the middle of this century, unless profound changes are made to how much money it spends, which none of us anticipate without some important political change. And the problem with that is not so much that the federal government would go away and you would miss it. I mean, I wouldn't miss it. I don't think this is an organization that's creating a whole lot of value in our lives. The problem is that if the government collapses, the bond market collapses, and if the bond market collapses, the dollar market collapses, and if the dollar market collapses, that's really a problem. To your point earlier about it being the international reserve currency, it would plunge us into a deep depression that would last not years, but in my estimation, generations. It'd be very difficult to climb out of a depression without working financial markets that are arranged around an agreed upon international reserve currency. I think that it would really be a problem for real people in the United States and around the world.
And, it's interesting how these are issues that libertarians have been talking about now for decades. And the establishment of both major parties has not really been paying attention to it in the way I think libertarians have. And I think in a way it's beautiful to see, as much as it might mean we're about to go through a major crucible or calamity, that no, actually, this is the matter that I think anybody from any walk of life has to say these are the issues we have to wrestle with. Hey, maybe we try some ideas that nobody else has tried in Washington for a few decades.
Good point. As Donald Trump would say, what have you got to lose? I heard your previous, I think there was an ad. I don't know if I'm allowed to plug one of your sponsors for you. I don't even know what, I presume it was a Republican. Caroline Dobson had an ad on that said, Biden is not for farmers. Not only do I agree with that, but I would point out to Caroline that she could run that ad with a whole lot of other nouns. You know, Bidenomics is not for the businessman. It's not for people of modest means. It is not for people with a lot of money and money to invest. It's not for creating a good corporate investment environment. Any reason you have for having joined the Democratic Party, most of my family are Democrats. You know, they joined the Democratic Party because they thought that's a party that would stand up for your First Amendment rights, that would put out there once in a while an anti-war message, that would have some classical liberal thought that, you live your life by your own standards. the Democratic Party really doesn't represent that anymore. And that's kind of a shame for those people that joined that party for those reasons. You know, you and your party have gone in two different directions. And I think that there are a number of people who are willing to give others a look now. And I would argue that there are a number of people who are disaffected and disappointed by the Republican Party. You know, I grew up as a Republican. In those days, I felt like the Republican Party would stand up better than it does today for free markets, free trade, deregulation, fiscal conservatism, strong money, and cutting back spending, especially. And I think that you'd have to argue that the Republican Party is not what it used to be on all of these issues. And so I think that people are willing to give not only a third party, any third party, a good look, but I think people are willing to give the third party, as the Libertarian Party is, a good look.
Well, and if there are any politically homeless out there listening to our conversation and they want to support you or at least find out more about you, how can they do so?
Well, you can go to MikeTremont.com. You can go to GoldNewDeal.org. Obviously, Gold New Deal, we're poking some fun at the Roosevelt New Deal. We believe that that has to be repealed, and we're making fun of AOC's Green New Deal. So you can go to GoldNewDeal.org, which is all about building a new relationship between us and government. Read about the campaign. Yes, thanks for saying so. If someone wants to support the campaign, if you got $50 that's really annoying you and you want to get rid of it, there's a way to do that. But if you want to, you know, reach out, you got comments, questions, you can do that. And if you want to work with the campaign, we always need volunteers. We have a big team. We're getting ready for the general election and very excited to be ready. So May 28th, our party will nominate a candidate. I believe that it will probably be me, but there are other great candidates as well. So if by some weird quirk of fate, it's not me, don't worry. We've got other great candidates who are absolutely worth supporting.
Well, Mike, I really enjoyed our conversation today. I think we only really scratched the surface. We could probably talk for hours about so much going on in this country of ours and the world. But appreciate your time and best of luck in late May there on, trying to get the
nomination. Thank you very much. We could go on for hours. You put on a telethon and invite me. We'll do 24 of them together. Thanks, Joey.
Thank you, Mike. Again, folks, that is Mike Termott. I really appreciate his time today. Really do. I found that man not only impressive with just the full life experience, but I think he is selling the right solutions the country needs. In fact, folks, if you are feeling politically homeless, whether it's Mike or somebody else running for the Libertarian Party, at least give them a look. At least check them out. Do your homework, so to speak. Well, now nobody wants to do homework, but yeah, do it. It'll make you better for it. Hey, we got to hit this very quick break. Be right back, folks.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
For too long, Alabama's statewide news companies have shamed us for our conservative Christian values. Alabama deserves a news company that cherishes our culture, a company that isn't bought and paid for by the powers that be. 1819 News is that company. Run by Alabamians for Alabamians, 1819 News celebrates what is good and beautiful about our state while exposing those who work against our values in secret. Just go to 1819news.com to learn more. Subscribe to our newsletter. That's 1819news.com.
Do you or a loved one have leg pain? Are your legs feeling tired? Do you have heavy skin discoloration? Do you have leg wounds or varicose veins? Are your legs swelling or do they have spider veins? If you're experiencing any vein issues, contact the professional caring staff at Ivy Creek Vein Clinic. They can help. Call 334-514-3851. Ivy Creek Vein Clinic, located at 525 Hospital Drive, Suite B in Wetumpka.
Hello to all my friends in the great state of Alabama. This is Lee Greenwood, and I'm deeply honored to extend my wholehearted endorsement to a true American patriot, Dick Brubaker, for Congress. His proven track record of principled advocacy, effective leadership, and dedicated public service guarantees that he will always stand firm in defense of our rights, our values, and our future. God bless you in Alabama, and God bless the USA.
I'm Dick Brubaker, and I approve this ad. Jessica Pig here with Pig Enterprises. Blue Water Broadcasting has been a major part of our continued growth, connecting us with the right customer base at the right time, helping us to get you behind the wheel of quality pre-owned vehicles for the past 20 years. If you're looking to maximize your advertising potential, Pig Enterprises believes you'll get a squeal of a deal from Blue Water Broadcasting.
Our advertisers are our biggest advocates. Call us to find out how radio can increase your bottom line. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks. Helping local business.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by Montgomery Paint and Body. From a little fender bender to total body repair, MPB will fix it good as new, maybe better. For over 35 years, the Turner family has been getting you back on the road. Call 279-7325.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Another warm, dry day today. More like late May than mid-April. Today's high temperature in the middle 80s again. Limited sunshine with the sun filtering through some high clouds. Cloudy, mild tonight. Overnight low 66. Tomorrow, most of us should stay dry with a weakening front approaching. High 82, mostly cloudy skies. Then a little warmer, 86 on Thursday with the sun and cloud mix. Widely scattered showers holding off till Friday and Saturday. A better chance on Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
At CBNS Bank, we've been meeting the needs of our customers since 1906. Need help setting up new business goals? Our line of commercial loans can help you achieve them. Go to cbsbank.com to find a location near you. All loans subject to credit approval, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
At Guardian Credit Union, we believe that banking should be personal, just like the relationships we build with members. Imagine a place where you're not just a credit score, but a valued part of our community. At Guardian, our dedicated team takes the time to listen, understand, and tailor financial solutions that fit your unique needs. From buying a car to saving for college and even starting a small business, we've got you covered. Come experience the Guardian difference and let's achieve your financial goals together. Guardian Credit Union, where you belong. Federally insured by NCUA.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Break 272-9228 if you want to get it on the program. Again, it is runoff day, so if you are in the brand new District 2, you should already know by now. You get out there and vote in the runoff, whether you're voting for the Democrat ticket or the Republican ticket. Pretty big runoffs here. See who will be going head-to-head, Republican versus Democrat, in November. I already did my duty this morning. I didn't wear the sticker for long. I don't like the little stickers. It makes me feel like I'm in kindergarten. Like, oh, good job. Here's a sticker. Like, you got a sucker back there instead, lady. So, there's plenty to get to today. It is fascinating. Speaker Johnson now saying he will not resign. That he's going to stand strong. He doesn't want Hakeem Jeffries taking over the House of Representatives, and I think the Democrats controlling the House would not be great news going into this very strange election year. But Thomas Massie has now joined in with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They don't need many more. I think just one more to really start to trigger this vote on vacating the chair for the Speaker of the House. We've done this before. Are we about to see them do it again? It's hard to tell, but Trump doesn't seem too happy with that prospect, as he continues to be hammered by lawfare. And it really is absurd at this point where these cases have gone. Absurd is the nice way to put it. It's a crime freaking illegitimate action and move. This is, I think, just absolutely bonkers where we're at as a country. But, you know, it's like everybody's corrupt and just fighting over power. I don't want to think of life that way, but that's where my mind goes. Hey, let's go to line one. You're on there. Who's this?
Yeah, Joey, Mr. Bill.
Hey, Mr. Bill.
Where would you go to vote at in Elmore County today? Would you know?
If you're in Elmore County, you're not in the new district, too.
Okay, really? I was wondering.
Yeah, you
right,
and that's Gary Palmer. That's District 6 congressionally.
Well, I thought it was District 2, but little I know. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, a lot of folks still